Listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and have taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Liz Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. I consider myself extremely fortunate. I absolutely love to meet people, find out what they're doing for a living, and how they live their lives in ways that embrace their dream. And then I get to invite them on the show and find out even more and share them with the audience in hopes of inspiring others to have the courage and to take the risks to do the same. And I never know who will land in my lap, but someone inspiring always does. The same holds true for my guest today. I just happened to go to the gym last Saturday because we were doing a challenging hero workout, and it was in honor of a fallen soldier, Liam Nevins, who was killed in the line of duty while serving in Afghanistan. His sister, Maeve Nevins Lautar, inspired all of us in attendance with the story of her brother that was both heroic and heartfelt. I immediately knew I wanted to have her on the show, and as I got to speak with her, I discovered that her story has a lot of similar qualities. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Maeve will join us, and she will share both her story and her brother's story and the impact that Maeve is having on the city of Sandpoint. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
One.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and have taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm the host for the show. I am Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Maeve Nevins Lautar, and Maeve is both the proud sister of a heroic brother whose life was taken while serving in Afghanistan, and she's also the passionate parks planning and development manager for the city of Sandpoint. We're so lucky to have Maeve here today to join us so she can show us how her commitment to both of these endeavors have the opportunity to enhance the lives of others. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Great. And I know you have probably so many things going on. So I just, and I haven't really had a chance to talk to you about everything, but I'm so excited to hear, you know, some of the work that you're doing kind of in honor of your brother and also what you're doing for the city of Sandpoint. So,
yes, great. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for on such short notice to be here.
Of course, of course.
So anyways, you know, I found that everyone at the gym was particularly inspired by the fact that you had asked to do this workout in honor of your brother. And I thought that the way that you portrayed his personality and what he stood for and how he inspired you was particularly interesting and heartfelt, like I said. So maybe if you could just kind of give us a brief little picture of who he was and, you know, how he was committed to his cause and in that way.
Sure. Well, thank you, of course, for having me. And anytime I have an opportunity to talk about my brother, I feel like he's with us in the room. Nice. And ironically, today is the 9th anniversary of his death. And so bear with me because it is a difficult day. And I wasn't quite thinking when we scheduled this, but it seems like very appropriate to be able to talk about living your passion on such a day, because it is a reminder to live the fullest that you can while we have the days, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what my brother would have said to me. So Liam was a Green Beret, and he was based out of Fort Carson in Colorado, and he served with a unit called the 519th, and he was killed in Afghanistan shortly after actually being in a pretty robust battle. He had been shot in the arm, and his shoulder was actually pretty significantly blown out. And he had, like a Green Beret, they do things to their own rhythm. And he had been wanting to serve one more tour with his team before they, or one more mission, I'm sorry, before they came home. And so he could have come home, but he chose to stay in Afghanistan another round. And on the day that he was killed, it was really quite sad because he was actually there helping people at the camp that he was stationed in and teaching Afghanistan troops that were, they referred to as commandos and their partners. He was teaching them how to shoot on the range. And that was one of his favorite things to do, was to practice shooting practice. And of course, you know, his line of duty, he was a sniper and very skilled at it. And a soldier on the Afghanistan side had turned, and it was that person actually killed 3 Green Berets that day. So not just my brother, but two other gentlemen, fallen soldiers, fell that day. And it was very impactful, of course, to me. At the time, I'd been living in Alaska. I was most recently living there for the last about 10 years and doing similar work, working for the Municipality of Anchorage Parks Department and being a public servant. But it wasn't until my brother's passing that being a public servant and being of service had this profound impact on me and really changed the trajectory of my career. I had a long history in landscape architecture and worked in the resort world for a long time doing ski resorts and things like that in the alignment with my passion as a skier and a mountain person and all those great things. But when Liam was killed, it was a really strong reminder of, you know, what it means to be of service, and then what does it mean to do something with your life? And right. I think, you know, maybe this is what I said on Saturday. I can't quite remember all the words that I shared with everyone, but the message that I was trying to share with everyone was that you never know the impact of your life or of somebody else's and the potential ripple that it could have. And in the case of Saturday, it was an incredibly humbling opportunity to be able to honor Liam through doing his hero workout and then have it benefit one of our local projects that I just started in the last year since I've been here. And the project is at Traverse Park. We are renovating the park. And one of the portions of the renovation project in the phase one is a renovation of the existing concrete lake skate park. So we have an existing skate park there, and per the master plan for the Parks and Rec Department, excuse me, it was identified that it would be expanded to about 18,000 square feet. And currently it's at about 5,000 square feet. So you can imagine to basically double the size or even triple the size is a substantial amount of funding that we need to raise. And we leveraged the funds from the workout to help raise money for the project. And ironically, on Saturday afternoon, the skaters were having their King of the Concrete skate park event. And so
perfect.
It was really neat. I got to walk over with all the money that we had raised in cash and checks, in addition to the online donations, and bring it over to the Bonner County Skate Association board members and deliver them that and tell them about the workout. So for me, that event and Saturday was it brought me home, and it kind of made me realize that this is my home now. So I've been here for a year, as I mentioned, and being new and being, you know, middle-aged and coming to a new community is not always the easiest thing in the world. And
no.
And then I work a lot. I work way more than I probably should, but I love what I do, and we have such important work to do right now. So it's hard to not do it all the time.
Right.
So I haven't gotten to really be engaged with the community very often and, you know, really missing that community backbone in my life. And the gym has been providing that. They've been my consistent since I got here, and I've been here for a year. And the folks over at the Sandpoint Strength and Conditioning, they've just been amazing, and your family particularly.
Thank you.
So I just feel really humbled that they would even, one, acknowledge that my brother has a hero workout, because most people wouldn't even think that that's a thing and wouldn't know about it, but it was recognized by the National CrossFit organization, and we went through a lot of effort to make it happen. And
I love that.
Yeah, and there was a big story that goes with that as well. So
yes, and I love that story too. And you're welcome to share it. And so I was under the impression that you had requested that the gym do that workout for your brother.
When I first got there, I had told him about it, and you know, I told a couple of the coaches. And but at the time when I first arrived, I had my 11th surgery last. It's been a year and a half ago.
Oh my gosh.
That I've had my 11th surgery from old ski injuries and mountain biking and all the sports that I used to do. And I still do, but not, I don't launch myself off cliffs anymore. At least not intentionally.
Yeah. And we learned. Eventually learned.
I was a competitive ski racer, and then, you know, alpine ski racer. And then I was in the extreme circuit. And I say extremes because in the 90s, that's what we called it. And
sure.
Now they call it free skiing. So I had a pretty robust career that lasted just until a few years ago. So I was doing that the same time as I was practicing landscape architecture, or becoming a landscape architect, right. I should say. And so, yeah, I had a lot of injuries. And when I came to town, it was after a year and a half of being working from home. So I was very out of shape. I was in Anchorage working, but I didn't leave my house other than to recreate, but I worked from home, and I was really out of shape, and I had had a knee surgery, and I actually didn't really think I belonged in the gym, but I didn't know what else to do because I needed to exercise. And
sure.
It's coincidentally right next to my office at City Hall.
That works out well. Yeah.
We are neighbors. We share a door on the same side of the building. And so, you know, I felt like I needed to go there. And then I really was intimidated when I shared, and not only do I think I belong here for a little bit, or I'm not quite sure, but not only would I like to join your gym, but here's a little tidbit about my brother, and don't think that I am anything like him, but you know, if there was ever a way to be able to do this, it would be really fun.
Love
and
that.
I think that's how I pitched it to the coaches, and then they didn't say anything. So a year went by, and I think it was in August when Kenny and then Amanda and some of the other coaches had said something to me. And next thing you know, it was on the schedule, and I had to quickly train harder and actually show up more often and all that stuff because I didn't know if I could do it. And I just graduated a month ago to be able to run again. And so that was a big step.
Wow.
And I was able to run during the workout and with the weight, not the full weight that's in right. the workout, but, you know, a scaled version. And
sure.
Just felt so glad to be able to participate at some level.
Yes. And for yeah. such a good reason.
Such a good reason.
And so was there a connection with the skate park with your brother that was particularly inspirational for you?
There was. Well, the coaches had asked me what organization that we'd like to donate to,
sure.
and, you know, what my family thought. And actually, my mom was in town when we made this decision, and it was really only one option for me because my brother actually skateboarded.
Okay.
And there's that he did skateboard and he did all the mountaineering things. And all of that was really important. But the reality is my brother, he always had a special a soft spot, I would say, for children. And he didn't get to have any children, and my husband and I weren't able to have children. And so it's ironic. We have nephews. My sister does have children, but, you know, to not be able to have children and then you just so badly want to touch their lives and improve their lives. And we grew up with a single mom. And so I think that all three of us have a compassionate side for our community and for our youth, and especially kids who don't have all the opportunities and the privileges that
right.
others do. And so for us and for Sandpoint, the skate park at Traverse Park is actually a lot of kids' second home. That's really what it is. There are so many latchkey kids that go
sure.
there. And adults, there's a lot of adults that go there. There are people on all types of wheeled devices. It's not just for skaters. It's for rollerbladers and those inline skates. And then you see I don't know what you call them, the zip cruise things. I mean, I don't even know all the names.
Right, right.
There are so many wheeled devices. And I think the big message going forward with this project that I've really been emphasizing is that Not only is it for all of them, but it's also for people who might be in a mobility device, such as a wheelchair.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it's also not just for the users. It's a park that's for the spectators as well. And there are so many studies out there that show that if people of other activities can integrate in a common area, one, there's health benefits, but two, the stimulation and the encouragement and kind of that igniter happens. And so people get inspired just by being a part of that energy. And so I think what I see with Travers and where I'm directing the project to go, we are renovating an existing skate park, and that's the catalyst for the rest of the park. But there's actually an entire park renovation that's going to occur. And
Well, you know, and I want to hear all about that. And we're just going to have to take a break because I'm getting all excited about this. So anyways, we will take a break and we'll be right back.
And one.
Welcome back. You are listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I am Lisa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Maeve Nevins-Louder, and she is the Parks Planning and Development Manager for the City of Sandpoint. And before we went to break, Maeve was just about to tell us about all the exciting things that are up and coming at Travers Park. And so I'm excited to hear. So let's find out a little bit more about that. So, fill us in.
It's a lot to connect it to my brother, but it actually all goes together, and it's pretty remarkable and serendipitous. When I first moved here in September of last year of 2021, I was tasked with the renovation of the skate park, and I was given $95,000 to kick off the project and let that be the seed money, and hopefully leverage that with grants and donations and whatever funding that I could find. Initially I did a scoping of the project, and we looked at the master plan that was adopted in 2020. And that master plan is sort of my guiding document, but it's really nothing more than a concept. The document has about a page and a half of a description of what we would be doing. And then it has a beautiful drawing that goes with it, and that's called the concept plan. But it's very loose, very, very high level. But in it, it did identify that there would be the potential for an enclosed structure with the tennis courts. It also identified that we'd be increasing the court capacity pretty significantly. And it wouldn't just be tennis, it would be pickleball courts.
Everybody will be excited about that.
Right, all in that same area, which is literally just north, actually almost touching the skate park, is the area that it was identified to be in. So, and just north of the existing parking lot on the south side of Travers Park. And so I knew all of that. I also knew that the fields needed to be redone. The history of Travers Park is that it was actually historically, it was a dump site. And so it was a landfill. And where the fields are, if you notice, they will hold water when it's raining. They have very poor water, like many things do around here. Right. So we have poor soils, but we actually have the dump disintegrating underneath it. And so, of course, it was capped and all of that, but it wasn't done properly, and it's not sustaining. And it's actually quite dangerous if we let it continue to erode the way that it is. And so the fields need to be redone. The parking lot needs to be redone. The bones and the original design of it with the infrastructure of an existing trail that loops around the park and then connects up to Centennial and Great Northern Park, those trails are very well loved. We see people out there all year round. And in the wintertime, we plow those trails and people are out walking. And we do allow dogs in the winter on leash. And so people just love that park. It's a great place to go on a sunny day. And you can see the mountains. And so it's just a wonderful community place. But we knew we had a big battle ahead of us. And, you know, I wasn't intimidated at all, though, because I just could sense that that was the park that the people love so much. But what I had no idea, and I didn't have a crystal ball or anything, was that we would have this incredible family that is from standpoint that would come in the door and would want to make a sizable donation to the community. And a Christmas miracle happened. I was tasked at Thanksgiving to come in on my day off and talk to a potential donor. And
wow.
So I came in the door and I had no idea what we were talking about other than this park. And I was going to share all the vision for the master plan of Traverse Park. And I sat down with Mr. Jim Russell and his mother, Jenny Russell. And we got to chatting. And next thing you know, they had a passion for the tennis courts and asked me how much it would cost if we were to renovate the tennis courts, and told me a beautiful story about Jenny's husband, who had since passed away, the original Mr. Jim Russell.
Right.
And James E. Russell, to be accurate with his name. And I heard all about how Mr. Russell, he had actually grown up here as one of six children. And he's part of Sandpoint's thread to the tune of, if you've ever heard of the Patrick McManus stories.
Okay.
Mr. Russell is actually a character in the books.
Oh my gosh, that's so
he
funny.
He grew up with Patrick. And so, you know, the legends of this Mr. Russell came out of these stories. And
I
walked away from that meeting and thinking, wow, well, it's exciting they want to donate, but I have an existing tennis court out there with a 100-foot crack in it and a giant bird bath is what I would call it, but a sump hole in the middle of it. And I sure hope they want to help me pay for it. Maybe I could get $10,000. That's a lot of money. That's actually what I thought. I didn't tell them, you know, about the skate park, but I did say I have a little bit of money to start something, and the skaters could really use some lights because they keep plugging into my tennis court lights, and they're out there all the time, and they're shoveling out the skate park. And I told them those stories, and then, you know, we left, and they tasked me with scoping out what a couple different options would be for the tennis courts. And one of those options was, you know, what would it look like if we covered it? What does the community really need? And they told me a story about how their dad, who actually, after growing up with his six siblings and playing sports in Sandpoint, he went on to be in the military. And then from the military, he ended up becoming an engineer. And he had a successful career in military defense. But he was so successful in his job, and also he would come back every year to Sandpoint. His family still lives here, and his brother still lives here. Everything, and they're still part of our project and part of our community. And he would come back, and he was apparently drawing napkin sketches of an enclosed sports facility.
Oh my gosh.
And he, I guess, you know, of course, being an engineer, you can't blame him for drawing.
No,
and he's been putting out these ideas for decades. And so after he passed, there was enough funding that his family felt like this was the right fit.
No kidding.
And with the combination of our master plan being completed, they wanted to know if we could align their donation with one of our projects. And so that's where I was. I was trying to figure out, well, could I get $10,000 to fix this hole?
Yeah, exactly.
Fix the crack? And I'll just throw in a concept for a cover, but not fully enclosed, because no one said anything about fully enclosed. So I did. And I actually did it despite my boss telling me I should go home. I sat there with the lights off in my office, and I watercolored one night. I had my architects, I scoped out the project, and this was, you know, over a course of a couple of weeks. And my architects that I had been working with had given me a couple options, and I sat there with the model, and it was the stick figure model, and I started watercoloring. I said, you know, I think if I watercolor this really captures the essence, and maybe they can see what this would look like, and maybe it would be a good seed project where we could use this to get some more donations, and perhaps the Russells know some other people who want to help us. I never in a million years thought that for Christmas, when we presented all these concepts and how much it would actually cost, that we would get a private donation for $7.5 million cover the cost of an enclosed court, but it's a sports court facility.
That was such a great Christmas story.
Yeah, so to say that the Russells are somehow related to Santa Claus is probably pretty accurate.
I think that sounds like a perfect fit.
We had some prayers answered, and prayers I didn't know existed, and this community couldn't deserve it more, because ironically, at the same time, our recreation superintendent Jason Wiley. His son has been playing tennis in the local high school, and his son is one of the top-ranked high school players right now. And I keep hearing about how bad our courts are, and you know, it's my job. It's all falling on my shoulder to go fix everything, but we don't have any money, and yet we have this great team, and including my coworker's son. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on here? This is just aligning. So, you know, that's where the combination of trusting that life just works out and going with it and trusting my gut came together. And so, you know, here we are today. We've been flushing through the different concepts, and now we even have a second phase because it looks like we have other donors, and we're talking to various grant organizations, and we're going to have a very robust project. And we did work with the public all through the spring, and we had stakeholder focus group meetings, and we heard from pickleball players, and we heard from tennis players, then we heard from basketball and volleyball and baseball, and everyone and anyone who plays sports really needs a place to play inside.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, Sandpoint is actually a winter town.
Exactly. There's a lot of months you're not outside. Yes.
Yes. So we are under contract now, and we are in something called schematic design, and we're tentatively scheduled to be on the October 19th City Council agenda, where we're going to present the concept to the community. So I'm this close. I was hoping to make it this next week, but we're still hashing through a lot of the details. And when you're dealing with the millions on a project, every detail counts, and we're trying to put as much of the money into the ground. And through that directive of here's what we want to try to achieve, I was able to combine the renovation of phase one with the skate park expansion. And so currently we have a pot of $300,000 for the skate park expansion, and we would like to double it if possible, because essentially every 5,000 square feet is about $500,000, and $500,000 is what I have in my mind to be able to improve the skate park to the level of service that we really need to for the community and for the types of users that we're hoping to be able to attract. And that also includes lighting and a seating area. And it also includes this very special Gateway Plaza, because if you're familiar with Traverse right now, it has a parking lot, and people access the trail system and the tennis courts by going through a parking lot, and there's no trail connection from Pine Street to the trails, and it's really dangerous.
Yes.
In fact, I just had my lunch in the park, and I was watching all the kids cross the street from the Waldorf school, because they go over there, and you know, they can get across the street and they can get to the sidewalk, but to get across that giant parking lot, it's a couple hundred feet in length to get to the trail and to get to the playground or any of the other facilities. It's actually really dangerous. So this is going to drastically improve the safety and the circulation, as well as, because we're looking at the second phase and the way we structured the contract, we structured it as a design build contract, which is very unique, but it's a very efficient way to do it. It means that we hired a team that has a contractor, an architecture team, a landscape architect. We have the surveyors, the geotech. We have everybody on one team, and they will be part of this project through multiple phases.
Oh my gosh,
so we
that's
have
awesome.
Tremendous cost savings by working up front and fleshing out all these phases now. And so that's what we're working on, is everything on the south side. So we're looking at the fields and the parking lot expansion. We're going to have to relocate the maintenance building, the picnic shelter. It's going to be quite robust, and it's going to change the community for the better in a way that I couldn't have ever imagined. Nor could I have. I couldn't even ask for it. Honestly, I was asking for money for a crack.
Exactly. And that's you've created a whole lot of great opportunities in a year, which, I mean, it's just kind of like a snowball effect, which is
beautiful.
So.
And I would give my brother credit for that, because in Alaska, you know, I was fortunate to be able to do a lot of my grieving up there and have my community in Alaska support me through that. But we did a lot of great things there. We actually were able to have a mountain officially named and recognized by the United States Senate and the USGS in honor of Gold Star families. And that was monumental. And that taught me I can do anything. If we can get a mountain named and, you know, and we can do this stuff, can do anything.
There's no stopping you.
No. So exactly. Who knows? And can you imagine just one life being able to make that impact though? I mean, my brother was actually my little brother who happened to be 6'2" or 6'3". He was huge. So I call him my little big brother. Sure. And this is his picture. I'm wearing his dog tag today.
Oh, I love that.
It's a special dog tag that has his picture because, you know, today is an anniversary, but I have city council today and I want everyone on city council to remember that one life can make a huge impact. And
I couldn't agree more. That's my message to everybody out there listening. Absolutely.
Yes.
So anyways, we still have tons of other things I want to be able to discuss with you. So we need to go to break, but we will be right back.
Okay. Thank you.
A fire.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to take the risks and to have the courage to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I am Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Maeve Nevins Lauter, and she is the Parks Planning and Development Manager for the City of Sandpoint. And I am so excited by what Maeve's doing, and she's so excited about it. And we just continued talking over break, and one of the things that Maeve had said on Saturday was she had come to a point in her career journey when she had some questions about whether or not she wanted to continue as a landscape architect, and her brother had some words of wisdom for her, and I believe that those words of wisdom have led you to where you get to be right now. So could you share those with us?
Yes. I'm not quite sure what I said. Again, I'm a little bit foggy from Saturday, and there's a reason for that.
Absolutely.
Saturday was shortly after my brother was actually born on September 11th, 1981. So we all know that that's a significant date for our country, but to have your little big brother be a hero during all of that. And then they call it the KIA day, the death that he died is today, the 21st of September. So, things are very fuzzy for me during this week typically, but, you know, my brother, if I recall the story correctly, as I was sharing it, you know, he had always come in out of my life when I was being an avid skier, and I had this big career as an athlete, and I was living in Colorado and Crested Butte, and then I lived in Vail. I mean, I pretty much lived in every great ski town in Colorado and was competing on the free ski circuit and also in skier cross, and was previously a ski racer. And I kept trying to convince my brother to get out of the Army. Mm. I felt like he had missed out on his life, and he's 6 years younger than me, and he loved to snowboard. And I just kept telling him, you know, would you please get out of the military and
go play?
Yeah. Why aren't you playing? It's a great powder year. We've been getting dumped on. I don't know why you can't just get out of the Army. And why do you have to keep doing this? And, then in 2013, he lost several of his closest friends in Iraq, and I forget what number tour it was because he had several, but, you know, it was a really rough time, and he would come and visit me. And I was at a point in my career around that same time where I'd been really struggling to go through school. I'd been in and out of college several times and wasn't quite sure if I was going to pursue engineering or art or what it was going to be. And I do have a learning disability or disability. I have invisible ones. I have ADHD, and which is very fitting for an extreme athlete, I will add.
Yes.
But I prefer to call it a superpower. And I struggled tremendously with tests, and I found landscape architecture as one of the potential things I could study. And I learned that landscape architects were the people that designed ski areas. And so I started pursuing it, and I went through college in Colorado, at Colorado State, and barely survived that, and also having a ski life and career. And I was still trying to compete, and had, I think at that point, probably eight or nine surgeries and multiple knee surgeries, and just kept going after it. And, you know, I really despised the landscape architecture world because it took me away from the mountains and all I wanted to do was play.
Yes, exactly.
And so it was really difficult to sit at a desk and learn the, you know, hone my craft. And then the profession has been a roller coaster because I came out and it was at the height in 2005 when I graduated, and then the recession hit in 2008 and I was laid off 3 times and I was working with these incredible firms and I was able to work on ski resorts and was flying all around to the mountain towns and working on places like Jackson Hole and, you know, working up in Banff and all these great places. And then the recession hit and I was laid off. And so I went back to skiing, and my brother, he kept coming back from his vacations while playing soldier, not really playing, living soldier. And, you know, we've been in war this whole time. And actually the war we've been in has been America's longest running war. And so maybe people don't realize that, but, the war on global terror is what they call it. But, you know, having that reality check with him, he always kept telling me, you know, you can do this and you have this in you. And he would tell me you're meant for this. And I had never believed him. In fact, I didn't believe him until just a few years ago when I was living in Anchorage. And I ultimately ended up in Anchorage and was working for Parks and Recreation there for almost a decade, as I had mentioned, and doing great projects, working on single track trails and developing inclusive playgrounds and all kinds of really fun things. But I was feeling very guilty about the profession because it was really so fun, frankly. And I felt guilty and I thought,
nobody ever tells you about those kind of careers,
yes,
right?
And you know, and I thought, well, you know, I should be doing something really legacy building and something that is, you know, better serving for my skills. And I was a full scholarship kid, so it's been a battle to get to that point. And I thought, you know, I feel very privileged, and what on earth am I doing? I should be more like my brother because he's just left this legacy. And just his words just kept coming to me through various projects I've worked on, different memorials and stuff. And it's just a repeat of, you know, literally like your show, following your passion. And as long as you stay in alignment with where it feels right, where your gut is trusting you, it's going to be okay. And I've been able to leverage my skills and my training and my education to be able to design so many projects that serve people. Mm-hmm. And you never know how they're going to be impacted. And that was in Anchorage when I developed and we designed and built a playground, and it had a whole inclusive component to it where all the elements were for everyone of all different abilities. And I had a neighbor that didn't come to any of my meetings, and that neighbor was a foster family and they had 10 kids there. And one of the children was so severely disabled that the mother had to drive an hour across town to a special facility so that one child could play with his siblings. And here we just built a park, literally, that their fence touched the park. And now all 10 kids could go to the same park.
Oh,
and she wrote me this letter, and that was the catalyst for me. From then on out, I just thought, you know, everything does happen for a reason. My brother was right. He kept pushing me to do better and try harder and stick with it. And you're on a track. And actually, he was the artist of the family. I could not draw to save my life, mostly because, again, I always wanted to be biking or skiing and wouldn't sit still. And he would draw. And so I'd try to trace his lettering. I have old stuff that he has written, handwritten letter, and I would copy his lettering. And I got a lot of his old drawing materials when he passed, and I still have everything. I cherish everything from him, but I like to pretend he's guiding me, and I talk to him as if he's in the room, and he also sends me messages in my own way that it's okay to design for play and fun, and everybody needs fun.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's in those moments when you're having fun and you're playing, you're building community, you're getting to know each other, you're supporting each other, but you're also releasing something in your brain. The chemicals get released so that you actually have more ideas come to you, and
absolutely,
you can problem solve better and you can relieve your stress. So once I started to make that mind shift that, you know, it's actually a public service and I'm actually designing something for health here, it really leave me of the pressure that I needed to be saving the world. And I thought, you know, one little park at a time. And I've now I've completed 50 built projects in Alaska. And right now Traverse is one of my projects, but I also have a non-motorized boat launch that we're going to be building at the visitor center. And we're in step one of that. And so we're working on a whole water trail that's going to go along Sand Creek. And that's going to be a new trailhead and access point with a parking lot. And then a dog park at War Memorial Field, and I have so many other projects to do here, but sometimes I have to get cut off and focus on what I have in front of me. So I have 1 year to deliver a whole bunch of things, and Travers is going to be definitely one of those that changes my life. And I'm just so honored to be able to do that and be of service and have all of my skills and my brother's life be able to go into the community that I now call home.
I love that. Well, we are so lucky to have you and your energy and your vision and the connection with your brother and how he, I think his words and his ways of guiding you are definitely a gift to our community. So thank you for taking the time to be with us today and for sharing that with us. And like, is there a way that really quickly we could communicate to the community if there's something they could do to step up to the plate and help you? And we have about a minute left. So.
Yes. Well, first of all, you can donate to the Bonner County Skate Park Association. And then in honor of my brother, especially for today, he always said, it's not what you do when people are looking, it's what you do when no one's watching.
Thank you so much for having me. Absolutely, Maeve. Well, I'm excited for where we're going and your leadership in doing so. Thank you for being with us. And thank you for listening in today. That's our show. Be sure and tune in next time. And in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.
Aw, thank you.
Yes.